Blog Talk Radio.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Been against destruction, cause you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto ain't expressing nothing less. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Man, that's how you feel. On the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, the jungle fight is serious. I'm so for real. Tell me what was I to do. All I seen was black and blue. Soldiers showing love.
Emma, I'm gonna need you to be on those too.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, everybody. How y'all doing? Man, I got to say big ups to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, what's up? George Spencer out there running things out there. My man, my dog, doing it and doing it well, showing them how the men can stand up. Iowa, what's going up in Iowa? My man, I know you're doing well up there. And Omaha, what's going on, Omaha? Florida, New York, all the mad dads all over the world. Doing it and doing it well. Men Against Destruction, defending against drugs and social disorder. I'm glad to be here today. It's been a great day. You know, people say, man, you got issues, you got problems, you got all this stuff going on. Yes, we do. But it's been a great day. Our topic today, we're talking about our children, our babies. What's going on? What's wrong? Our babies are dying. On the streets, our mothers are crying. And they're crying out for men to step up. We're crying out. And so today, I want to thank Erica Bradley for helping us to, what did you say, ma'am?
Brady.
I said her last name wrong. Erica Brady. Coming over, Erica, and just, I want to thank you for helping us produce this show. She really enjoys doing it. How you doing today, Erica?
I'm fabulous.
Good, good. Tell everybody your last name.
Brady.
Yeah, she's part of the Brady Bunch.
Yes.
How about that? Anyway, on Blog Talk today, we're talking about our babies. I have a mother here. She has lost her baby, and it was tough, and it was hard, and it's a struggle, but I want to get her point of view, and also Emma's going to say a few things from the youth perspective about what's going on with our young men. Why are they shooting at these babies? Why are they doing all this? Ms. Champion, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. We're glad to have you on today. Give us your thoughts about, maybe people are talking about, when is it going to stop? When is it going to end? Give us your thoughts about maybe some of the solutions to the violence in our community.
Well, when is it going to end? It's been stretched out so long. You know, I can't answer that. You know, people have been showing up in the community. It's been volunteers. It's been leaderships out here. And I'm sure everyone is putting their best effort. But we are having more disappointing, you know, calls in the morning that our loved ones, our nephews, our babies are dying. And it's a sad thing. I just put up on Facebook to my godson, Zab Judah. I had talked to him yesterday, and I had told him about the two-month-old baby that got shot. And his heart just went out to the family, but also to the other mothers that have lost children. It doesn't matter the age, you know, it's just a sad thing, period. And it's not stopping. It seems like the numbers are just it's more, and it's like we can't do anything about it.
Well, you know, I got I don't know if you're familiar. I'm sure you are with Officer Beeks.
Hi.
Officer Beeks has been around for a long time. Matter of fact, Officer Beeks has a couple of people in my office, young people that say they've had some run-ins with Officer Beeks, and they know a little something about Officer Beeks. But Officer Beeks, I've been knowing you since I started working and I was going to college, and you were, I think, doing security at the time. It's really good to have you, sir, on air. So we're going to go right now. I'm going to go right to Officer Beeks. Officer Beeks, how you doing, sir?
Good. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hey, it's great to have you on. Officer Beeks, what do you think? You've been doing this work. You've been working with people in the community for a long time. You've been working around these kids for a long time. What is the solution to saving our babies from getting shot in our community?
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for having me. And this is Officer Beeks for City of Minneapolis Police Department. And I have been with the department for about 11 years, born and raised, you know, in the Twin Cities here. And I, too, grew up on some of the same streets that these guys are growing up on. And, you know, and our solution is us. You know, we really can't depend, you know, on the police department, on the media, you know, or too much of anybody else. We have to police ourselves. We have to be accountable for our actions, et cetera, et cetera. And just as soon as these young men learn that it's more feasible to pick up a book, you know, than it is a gun, I think that we will definitely, not that I think, I know we will have a lot more success as individuals, as well as a race and a community.
Well, you're absolutely right. Now, being on the, one of the questions I have with, what do you think it is that makes a kid, because everybody's trying to understand this. We have a 2-month-old baby that got shot. We had a 14-month-old baby that got shot. We have 5-year-old babies getting shot. What is it that makes these kids just aimlessly shoot at anything?
You know, a lack of knowledge, a lack of trust, a lack of respect, a lack of communication. There's a lack of a lot of things, unfortunately, within our community, and they're so quick, you know, to just pick up a gun and just start shooting. And they don't think, you know, about the long-lasting consequences that this is going to have, you know, on themselves, on the other party that they are shooting at. And unfortunately, and in a lot of cases, these young kids that get hit, and even the long-lasting effect that it's going to have, you know, on the community in general, you know, our race in general. I mean, it's not okay. It's not acceptable. Young men, you need to stop. Fathers, you have to step up and you know, be fathers. Don't just be a daddy. Be a father, you know, and steer these young men, you know, in the right direction. You know, it's unfortunately that when we were coming up, there was some old sayings that were held to be true. And one of them were, it takes a village to raise a child. And unfortunately, that whole saying, that whole philosophy, et cetera, has been dissipated many, many years ago. And instead of us as adults checking these young people, you know, we just sit back and we watch, you know, these young people do what they do. And to a certain degree, you know, people don't want to have to get into it with other people's parents, because people's parents, you know, think, well, why are you doing this to my kid, or why are you doing that to my kid? So, you know, we just don't want to have that hassle. But we have to get back to some of this old school education, this old school family raising, in order for us to be successful.
I agree with that, Officer Beeks. What I'm going to do, hold on, don't you go anywhere. I'm coming right back to you. Got a caller that wants to say a few things. We got, this is Blog Talk Radio with Mad Dabs. We got Miss Champion here, also Officer Beeks. 8755, you got a question or comment? 8755.
Hello?
Yes.
What's up, BJ, man? I just wanted to...
You got a comment?
What's the subject about?
Shoot. It's about our kids down in the streets.
I feel like, man, we gotta, you know, work together as a community and help uplift each other. And just like, there's a lot going on in the street, man. It need a lot to just reach out and talk to them. And that's it, man. That's the only thing I wanted to say.
Okay, that's good. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. We got caller 5737. How you doing? And welcome to Blog Talk Radio. 5737. You're on the line.
How you doing, BJ? I'm on with the Minneapolis Mad Jazz, man, and I hear you, officer. But really, a amazing part about it, man, is you're right, man. It takes a village. you know, at some point, if we don't get together as a community, some of these men in the community, and let these young guys know that what they're doing is wrong, and then also being a role model, giving them somebody to look up to, something to do, giving them some good information, letting them know, man, as long as they stay positive and that we got their backs, I mean, really got their backs, not just to yell at them and tell them what they're doing is wrong, but also showing them how to do right. You know, when I was growing up, no one showed me how to do right. They only showed me how to do wrong, so I grew up doing wrong. You know what I mean? But one thing I never did, man, and I'm not saying I was no angel, but I never shot or did anything wrong or hurt any kids, man. That's one thing growing up in the hood where I grew up at. You don't hurt kids, man. You know, that's the last thing. If you do hurt kids, you get told on. You know, and we got to stop. Instead of being closed mouth, we grew up, don't be a snitch. Don't tell. Don't say nothing. Mind your business. But officer, the amazing part about it, don't nobody want you to mind your business when something happens to their family, right? They want everybody to tell. But the thing about it is, when they doing wrong, they're like, man, mind your business, man. I ain't got nothing to do with that, man. That ain't my family. But when your family get hurt, you want them to speak up. I think we should all start speaking up on a regular basis, letting these young men know, just like back in the day, you could be on. You could be 5-6 blocks away from your house and do wrong, and you'll come home and get a whooping, and you'll be asking your mama, why are you whooping me? And she'll tell you, such and such called me and told me what you did over there 5 blocks away. Now everybody's so closed mouthed, we don't know what these little kids out here doing, and they coming home and they doing wrong, and they coming home playing like they ain't done no wrong, like they don't do no wrong.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Lonzo, and I want to thank you, man. That's the whole thing. The parents, that's what Officer Beek said, the parents got to step up. This 2-month-old baby, you know, that baby's life will never, ever be the same. It got struck in the neck. So, Lonzo, we're going to come back to you. Just hold on. You just hold on for a second. Emma, you know, Emma is sitting here, and she knows you, Officer Beek. She is familiar with you, and so she wanted to say a few words about how she feels about the young people in our community and what they need to do. Emma, talk about that a little bit. What do these young men need to do?
Get it together. Like, one, you don't need to be having no gun to begin with, but if you ain't going to have your aim together, like, it's kids out here. I got a kid. I would have had two, but I got a 4-year-old daughter. And it's sad when I can't take her to Falwell Park without worrying about somebody shooting up at the park and my daughter being an innocent bystander, or worried about having my little cousins outside because somebody's going to shoot them and happen to look up. You can't even enjoy your day no more because you paranoid that somebody's going to hit one of these kids. You scared to send these kids outside. All you want them to do is go to school and come straight home. That's not cool. Like, it just made it real horrible for our generation, for my generation who has kids and them coming up. We used to be able to sit outside and play at the park and have fun. We can't do none of that no more. Like, we can't have our kids have a good day at all. Like, that's crazy.
You know, Officer Beeks, what are the guns? How come we can't figure out these young boys? Why can't we get the guns out of their hands? Nobody ever gave me and you guns when we were young. They gave us a stick, a BB gun, or maybe a you know, something like that. What happened?
Well, you know, there's a lot of things that have happened, you know, over the course of time. And unfortunately, our gun control, and a lot of other things, that I believe that we could be, even our gun laws, we can be a lot more strict on. And if we were, I think that, we would not be seeing some of the same, repeated offenses. At least not by the same individuals time and time and time again, because our laws is just too lenient. But it's just amazing on how easy it is to go out and get a gun pretty much anywhere. I mean, you look at, you know, the internet and some of the other social media type stuff that we have out here today, you know, with just times changing. You know, you can buy a lot of stuff over the internet that we even never had access to, never had any really knowledge about, you know, 20 years ago. And so it's just way too easy to get this stuff.
And can you tell me this, Officer Beeks, how can we never ever hear about a gun dealer or a cat that was selling guns on our block that got arrested, and that so or we can celebrate that, ooh, we got one. I've never heard or seen anything on the news about one person that was selling guns on Lake Street or selling guns on the north side that got caught. Why is that?
You know, that's a good question, and I wish I had a good answer for you. I do know that that individuals are arrested all the time, you know, for possession of guns. I do know that, you know, we do have a gun return kind of policy, if you will, a program with the city of Minneapolis that anyone can come in and turn in a gun at any police station with no questions asked. I strongly encourage, you know, that these guys take advantage of this stuff, turn it in. You know, you don't need them. But to answer your question, why you never really hear about it, I really don't have an answer for that.
And I think that's something that people in our community, we got to fight for that. And, you know, I don't know if you're familiar. I got Miss Champion here. She lost her son. And Miss Champion, have you got any questions for Officer B?
One question I have is that this is something that I know. Over in St. Paul, it was a gun store that got robbed, and it was never announced to the public that it was a variety of guns that was stolen out of the gun store. And they did retrieve a couple of those guns by some youth over in St. Paul, and it was not announced to the public that the gun store was ever robbed. And I'm very disappointed in that. You know, I know the times are much different, but it's just it's a different day. But back in the day when I was coming up, the young men did like to play with guns. We just couldn't get them like we can get them now. If it wasn't nothing but a cap gun, a BB gun, you know, it was easy to get BB guns. You can go to the fishing store to get minnows and get BB guns, you know, and so I'm just saying that it's just a different time, and it's not being announced to the public that the adults plays a big part in this. You know, we don't want to accept that we do play a big part of this. You know, this gun law thing, I disagree with it 100%. It's other ways. If someone come in your home and invade you, it's other ways to handle situations than to always get a gun for the home. And we know that we have children. We know we have curious children. So I'm saying all of this to say it's coming up another year that I lost my child to violence. And I'm mad. My child died on Halloween. Every day is Halloween to me. I can't get my baby back, but I can also speak up for other folks' kids. You know, I can speak up for that little one-year-old baby walking in a park with her mother. You know, I look at the police in the community, but our youth don't know their constitutional rights. I think that our youth are being taken advantage of. You know, a lot, we need more jobs. You know, the job that I'm doing right now, I can give resources to the young people where they can go and find them jobs. And guess what they say? Well, I never knew. Never knew. Because there's other parents out here that's not parenting their children.
But you're absolutely right. Officer Beeks, what do you think when it comes to parents and, you know, adults, how can we do a better job of finding out whether our kids have access to guns or not? What can we do better?
Well, you know, that's another good question, and I wish I had a more of a solid answer for you. But one of the things is as parents, you have to, you know, just keep control as much as you can. I know that, you know, kids grow up and, you know, so on and so forth, and the streets can be a very, you know, evil place at times. But at the same time, you know, these 16 and 17, 18-year-old kids, you know, you guys also know right from wrong. And when someone's doing something wrong, you know, turn and walk the other way. You know, go do something else. I mean, I would be more than willing to be a part of Mad Dads and any other organization that wish to help out, to bring out some type of career fair, you know, with the Urban League and Mad Dads and whomever other organization, the City of Minneapolis Police Department and whomever else, to get this information out, as the young lady stated, that they don't know. Let's get it out there then. If it's not out there, let's get it out there. You know, parents, when these kids are, you know, 7, 8, 9 years old and they're in the store and they're talking about that they want a cap gun of some sort or something like that, there, no, get them something else. You know, have them do something else. The video games, you know, don't let these guys, you know, get into, you know, these video games, Call of Duty and some of these other, you know, shoot 'em up war games, you know, that gets these ideas and stuff into their heads. You know, instead of having a gun to protect your home, go out and get an alarm. It's been documented that if you have an alarm on your house and you have it posted, you know, you're 44% less likely to get burglarized. You know, if you're that concerned, put in an audio-video system on your home. You know, those things are very effective. So even if you do get robbed, and when we do get there, I'm sorry, if you get burglarized, and when we get there, you know, we have some good video footage to where we have something to work with, you know, when it comes time to the investigation. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can do, and I'm more than willing, you know, like I said, to get with these organizations and get this information out there.
So, you know, we're talking about what's happening in Minnesota. I think we're up to 28, 29 homicides so far this year. You know, one of the things that we're not as bad as Chicago. Chicago has got over 600, 700, and even since the start of the 4th of July weekend, 55 people have been shot and fatally killed in Chicago. What stops us, do you think, Officer Beeks, from being as bad as Chicago? We're only 600 miles away. What stops us?
Well, number one is fortunately, you know, there's a lot more individuals in the city of Minneapolis that have been shot. However, they, you know, go to our wonderful medical facilities, such as HCMC and some of the other places, and they don't they get saved. You know, they don't die because of good medical treatment. Of course, Chicago is much bigger than we are as far as the city of Minneapolis, and they're just a whole totally different dynamic as far as living in the city of Chicago than it is here in Minneapolis. I know that we have, you know, a large number of individuals from Illinois that stay here in Minneapolis, but I think it's just a whole totally different style of living down there to why they're having such the issue that they're having and we're not having it up here. And maybe then we should look at what we are maybe doing a little bit different, maybe a little bit better than they are down there. And that should be something that we should be able to build from and go from there.
You know, I think you got a great point. One of the things I want to ask you, as being an African-American police officer, why don't we have more?
Why don't we have more?
Yes, sir.
You're trying to get me in trouble, aren't you?
No, sir. I know for a long time that you – Your dream was to be a police officer. I remember that. I remember when you were younger and you always say, one day I'll be a police officer. You did it. I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, what? You know, why, you know, in our community, in the African-American community, first of all, how many African-American officers do we have?
Well, you know, I don't know our exact numbers. I think as a department, we're maybe about 825 total, and I want to say that we're as far as black officers are concerned, I think we're at like around about 50. But we do have several Somali officers, Asian officers, Hispanic officers, et cetera, that you know, brings up that number just a little bit more. I have never had the opportunity within the city of Minneapolis to work in backgrounds or recruiting or anything like that there. And if given the opportunity, I would definitely jump on it. So then therefore I could be able to hit, you know, some of our inner city schools and hold other informational fairs and so on and so forth to get it out there. Because I do know that there's a lot of African-American males and females that would love or be interested in becoming police officers, but they also have a lot of other concerns growing up. You know, a lot of, you know, 16, 17-year-old kids nowadays, if they're interested in becoming the police, they're definitely not saying it, you know, because they know good and darn well that they're out here in the community and you get to talking that type of stuff, and then, you know, their safety may be in jeopardy. You know, I mean, but go ahead.
How did you, you know, my question is, growing up, you grew up in Minneapolis. What high school did you go to?
Washburn.
You went to Washburn, and you made it clear that you wanted to be in law enforcement. Did you find that hard as an African-American kid growing up to want to be in law enforcement? Did you find it hard to get friends, to be, you know, did you find it tough?
Oh, most definitely. There was quite a few individuals that were asking, what do you want to do that for? Why you want to be the police? And as I kind of got older and older, and they saw me start drifting in that direction, those that were supposed to be my buddies or my friends or whatever the case may be, there was quite a few of them that, you know, stopped dealing with me because of it. You know, but at the same time, I was not concerned about that. But again, you know, 20 plus years ago when I was coming up, I didn't have to really worry about too much being, you know, shot or being jumped or something like that there, because I wanted to be the police. As you stated earlier, you know, if we got into a fight, you know, there may have been a stick or some type of nunchucks or something like that there. But for the most part, win, lose, or draw, I was able to get up the next day and kind of go on about my business. You know, and nowadays, you know, they're using guns for sticks and so on and so forth. So the ante has definitely increased, which will have a dramatic impact, you know, on that person, you know, if they get harmed.
So just like the gentleman that got killed at the barbershop, this man was just trying to, you know, cut hair and do a good job. He got out of prison trying to do things right. We're listening to Blog Talk Radio with Officer Beeks and a whole bunch of other folks that are on the line that are listening in. It looks like we're running out of time. We got about a minute left, Officer Beeks. And so, Officer Beeks, give us some tips for people that want to get in law enforcement, people that are trying to stay clear. What can they do if they want to become a police officer like you? What do they need to do?
Well, let me say this here real quick. Anyone that has any questions, need any information, or anything like that there, feel free to contact me. Again, Officer Beeks, City of Minneapolis Police Department. Phone number is 612-673-5705. Again, 612-673-5705. And I can answer any and all questions that you may have. If I don't have the answer, I will definitely find it for you. There are a ton of programs that we have, everything from our PAL unit to our community service officer position to our police cadet position, which then leads into a certified police officer's position. And then there's just tons of other different financial things that we can do for you to kind of help you with, I should say, to see that you live out your life dream, if that's being a police officer or whatever else. And again, be up above and beyond being a police officer. If you have any further questions, comments, and concerns, please feel free to give me a call.
You've been listening to Officer Veeks and Mama Treats and Emma and our producer, which is Erica. We want to thank you for listening. Alonzo, thanks. And all the other Mad Dads for calling in. You've been listening to Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, Pittsburgh, Omaha, Iowa, Florida, Minneapolis, and New York.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Man, it gets destruction because you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto ain't expressing nothing less. From the north to the south to the east to the west. Mad Dads, how you feel? On the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, the jungle fight is serious. I'm so for real. Tell me what was I to do. All I said was knock it blue. Soldiers showing love.